Call from mom. Answer it. Call silenced.
Instacart knows nothing gets between you and the game. That's why they make ordering from your couch easy. Stock up today and get all your groceries for the week delivered in as fast as 30 minutes without missing a minute of the game.
You have 47 new voicemails.
Download the app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
I'm Sandra, and I'm just the professional your small business was looking for. But you didn't hire me because you didn't use LinkedIn Jobs. LinkedIn has professionals you can't find anywhere else, including those who aren't actively looking for a new job, but might be open to the perfect role, like me.
In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't visit other leading job sites. So if you're not looking on LinkedIn, you'll miss out on great candidates, like Sandra. Start hiring professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/recommend today.
Hey, it's Sprague here. Really appreciate you listening. You're about to get some podcast excellence. It's presented by Les Schwab Tires, doing the right thing since 1952.
You're talking about a unique player here. You're talking about the MVP of the league. 16-1. I mean, players know he's got it. That's why the Bears couldn't sign him. Because you put him in the locker room with B. Mitchell Trubisky, who do you think the team's going to go to? Of course they're going to go to Cam.
This is Dirt and Sprague.
We're going to have to muster up all the energy we can mentally, emotionally for each other. Those guys on the bench are going to be so important to getting some momentum together. Coaches, all that is going to matter now, where maybe it didn't matter before. You know, whether you had this routine, you're going to have to figure out a new routine. I think it's going to be very sloppy basketball.
With Andy Dirt Johnson and Brendan Sprague.
DeAndre Jordan has already ruled himself out, and there's concern on the Nets that as they lose more players, they're going to be, as they become less competitive, that it's causing other players to wonder, is it worth me going to play? And that puts the Nets in a difficult position.
Dirt and Sprague on 1080 The Fan.
City. Time for Dirt and Sprague on Portland Sports Leader, 1080 The Fan. Brandon Sprague, Andy Dirt Johnson in with you on this Tuesday afternoon.
What is happening?
Not just Dame Dalla on a video game cover.
That was big news today, man.
That was pretty big news.
I woke up, I saw that I got jacked. You got retweeted by Damian Lillard. Look at you going all big time over there.
Wait, did I really?
Humble brag, acting like you don't even know. All those retweets and likes come pouring on in.
Well, I had to do this a couple years ago. I had put a tweet out like 2 years ago, and I was like, oh, that's a good tweet.
Yeah, I like that tweet.
I got 2 likes. And I was like, well, I don't want to ever do Twitter again.
No, nobody appreciated my genius.
So I don't often go back and look, but that's pretty dope. Shout out to Damian Lillard for that.
Yeah, damn, looking at those numbers right now.
Dude, good numbers,
bro. Those numbers.
Yeah, I opened up Twitter and I saw your tweet and it was a lot of retweets and likes. And I thought, Sprague's got a good little following. I don't know if he's got that good of a following.
Ouch.
For just saying. it was just a simple, like, this is cool way to go, Dame.
It was very basic.
It was a lot of retweets. And I thought, huh, that's interesting. And so I poked on over to Damian Lillard's Twitter account. There it was, Brandon Sprague, popping on up on the timeline.
Up to 1,500 likes. Ooh, there, my man.
What?
Going big, baby.
But.
So, yeah, that's pretty cool.
I don't know what I did with that.
Yeah. You just drop a what, but? Is that what I heard there?
Yeah, well.
Okay.
You never said that as a kid?
No, I don't think I ever said what, but.
What, in your.
I know the song. I'm
aware there's
of the
a song.
Yeah.
I remember the song. Yeah. That came out when we were in college.
You guys didn't drop those?
No, I never really said that. I'm lying.
No? Okay.
No.
Right. By the way, nice backhanded little compliment there.
Yeah, good job.
Sprague's got a nice little following, but I don't know about that one.
Not 1,500.
No.
I like following. Not that good.
There's usually like 15 people that like him, but sure. When we get past 30, it starts getting a little dicey there.
You got a decent little handful there. Although I love when I make mistakes on Twitter and I don't realize it, and there's always one person that corrects me. So we were throwing some stuff out on the show page today.
Yeah.
And because we're doing a mail sack. Today is
the
Tuesday.
Mail sack.
All right, we're going to get to the mail sack coming up.
Get your mail sack questions in, 503-250-1080. Any and all questions are welcome. Any.
And at first, Dickard responded by saying the odds of Sprague remembering to tease us at all is plus 4,500, which if I didn't just, this that one doesn't count because I brought it up first. So if, without me bringing it up, we'll see if you can remember. But somebody did respond because I said in the tweet, it's mail sack day. Get your answers in and we'll get to them at 2:15. Somebody responded.
We'll ask the listeners the questions. Yes. They give us the answers.
I said, answers? Isn't it questions? Oh, well, this is the quality I've come to expect from your social media page. I said, yes, indeed. Happy Tuesday. Day, everybody.
Yeah, well, you know, social media be damned. I woke up, I saw the cool video, and I, you know, look, I'm not a video game player. I haven't played them in quite some time. I'm also admittedly pretty bad at video games, so that's probably why I don't care about them. I still think this is cool when it happens, because it doesn't happen in our city or our state very often.
No.
Wasn't Mariota on the cover of a video game?
No, I think the NCAA video game left before he...
Yeah.
Like 2014. Yeah.
Was Joey then? Was it Joey that it I'm
was,
thinking of?
Yeah, Joey Harrington was
Harrington
on the cover.
Was, yeah, like NCAA yeah. football 2001.
See, that's... I mean, that was cool, though. Like, that I remember when that came out. That was a big deal. Me and my friends were, like, at school. I'm like, dude, Joey's on the cover.
Yeah, it used to be when we were younger, I don't know if younger people feel this way now, but I remember when we were younger how big of a deal it was when somebody from the Northwest was on Sports Illustrated.
Yeah, and the Ken Simonton Harrington one.
Ken Simonton Harrington one. There was the one when Oregon beat Michigan.
That's right.
And they had that big cover, and they got their ass kicked the next week. But for, like, 1 week, they were the talk of college football and on the cover of Sports Illustrated. Like, that was always a big deal. And maybe even further back than that, you go like Drexler Wheaties box.
I was going to say Clyde Drexler was on the cover Bulls versus Blazers.
He was. He was on the cover of the mag.
Yeah.
Well, how many people own that Drexler Wheaties box still? That's just a box of cereal.
So the cool thing about that is I always wanted the Drexler Wheaties box and we never got it. There was a guy that worked here when I first started at the Fan. He had a corner office. He was a real important person. They fired him. He got axed. They got let go.
And we'll see ya.
And he left like half his stuff. You know, people get their cubicles or their offices, they stack it with their stuff. He left like half of it. And I never really understood why. Like, even if you leave under bad circumstance, shouldn't you be allowed to grab a box and stack your stuff?
And maybe it was a get your ass out of here in 2 minutes and grab everything you can.
Well, knowing the current boss at that time, there's no doubt that that was probably the story. But he left a Drexler Wheaties box. So I went in there. I didn't care what anybody had to say. I snagged that bitch and I put it in our in the dump.
It's still sitting at our desk.
Yeah.
It's still there, man.
So, you know, I know magazines are kind of fading out a little bit, but to still like have people that are you're familiar with that kind of represent your area. I don't know why I still think that that sticks out for me. That's still a cool thing. And I don't know what that is.
Yeah.
You know, it's not like it makes or breaks my day, but it's still like, oh, Dame's on the cover of a video game.
Right.
Oh, Joey Harrington's on the cover of a video game or a magazine or Ken Simonton.
Right. The only bummer that I had out of it was the fact that I don't know why they do it. They're having multiple covers, apparently.
They're having three more. Two more. They have one tomorrow and then one Thursday.
That was kind of that one bummed me out a little bit. But it's still awesome to see that he's on the cover, at least for one of, I don't know what console or what region. I don't know how that's all going to work. At least he got one of the covers. But I do it like because when we get like the Madden stuff, that's always a big deal because the curse follows the Madden cover.
Well, and there's a curse to this.
Oh, there is for the 2K cover, too?
Yeah. So
oh, God, take them off.
Give me a second. I got to go through all my replies.
Oh, do people respond?
This is going to take an hour.
Yeah.
Because I'm so popular.
Look at him big leaguing over here. Oh, so many replies. No, I just can't find it.
No, I use TweetDeck, so I don't even see like most of the replies. So. By the way, in getting retweeted by Dame, it then spurred on. I've got a bunch of Laker fans in my mentions.
Saying he's going to come to L.A.?
But get this. 2K14, guess who was on the cover?
2K14. So it would have been 6 years ago?
Yeah.
That wasn't the Kobe one, was it?
You guys don't have to overthink this. You just throw a name out.
LeBron.
Yes.
Okay.
When did LeBron leave Miami?
I'm going to guess 2014 if we're going down that line.
2015, who was on the cover?
Kevin Durant.
Boom. 2017, who was on the cover?
Let's see, who just left in free agency? Anthony Davis?
Paul George.
Paul George, okay.
2018, who was on the cover?
Anthony Davis, try that again.
Kyrie in a Cleveland Cavalier uniform.
Ooh, that's awkward.
2019, LeBron from the Cleveland days.
Yeah.
And then 2020, because it's always a year out.
Sure.
The cover of 2020 was Anthony Davis in a Pelican uniform.
Okay.
Do you know what these six players have in common?
That is the conspiracy theory. I gotcha.
This is the curse in which I speak.
Okay. Do we realize that he's signed a max extension and he's under contract for like five more seasons? So unless he demands a trade, that's not going to happen. All those other people left in free agency.
You know, I don't know what it is. I think it's maybe the LeBron quote from a few years ago. Like, give me a Damian Lillard and I'll show you what he can do. That is really stuck in Laker fan thought process. They legitimately believe he is going to demand a trade.
Oh, they fully do.
Like, they are all in as a fan base thinking they're going to get Damian Lillard with LeBron.
He's eventually coming to L.A. Somebody said the Madden curse worked out well for Mahomes last season. Now,
he did
end up winning a Super Bowl, but remember, he got hurt. And it was kind of a concerning injury when he got hurt. And I remember people bringing that up. And that's been a long-standing thing in the NFL of guys with the Madden curse. He missed, what, two games, I want to say, in the middle of the year. It was kind of a weird knee injury. He came back against
Colts game was when he got hurt. I think it was an ankle.
And then remember, he came back against Denver, didn't he, early in the game, and then like had a quarterback sneak and had to leave in the first quarter again, and everybody got panicked. Or maybe that was the game after the Colts game and everybody worried. But yes, he ended up having a perfectly fine season.
By the way, there's a commercial attached to it. Typical Portland intercom, our system's down for about 2 hours. It just, you know.
Perfect timing.
Peak time to redoing wide orbit.
Maintenance, of course.
Yeah, like.
Let's do it during their stupid show.
Well, you know, I don't know who dictates these schedules. They're just idiotic. Like, hey, for 2 hours during your show, you can't do anything audio-wise. Oh, sweet. Just fantastic. Great, great idea there. But there's a commercial attached to the Dame cover. And there's a part of the commercial. He's doing all these different spoofs and characters. He's got a cologne one. Did you see that part?
The cologne one is hilarious.
He's shirtless, but his button-up shirt is like blowing in the wind like an R&B singer in the 90s.
Yeah.
And I can't remember what he says, but he uses a French term for it. It's just Dame available this fall, and it's a cologne.
He needs to come out with his own fragrance now.
If he did a fragrance, would you kick around buying it?
No.
Okay. Because celebrity fragrances, they can really be bad.
Right. I am kicking around the idea of buying the game, though.
Oh, the 2K2.
I don't know if I'd expect that. I don't know if I'd go fragrance. I don't know if I'm quite that level.
Well, but like we bought years Dame and years ago.
By Damian
you gotta
Lillard.
Ask, like, is Damian Lillard, is that my smell?
I kind of want it to be my smell.
If you look at me and Damian Lillard next to each other, do you think we have the same scent taste?
Yeah.
Oh, okay. You do?
Yeah.
Okay.
Why should I not?
I don't know. I don't know what
his
smell
is. He's a 6'2 black guy?
I don't know what his smell is.
You're 5'8 white guy. Why can't you smell like a 6'2 black guy?
Thanks for giving me 5'8. I appreciate that.
Let me tell you this, too. We don't really see him naked anymore like you used to in the day.
Okay. Sure.
But when we go to the locker room, I think I'm going to ask when we go to the locker room if that ever happens again.
Can I smell you?
You can smell me. They smell amazing,
they smell phenomenal.
Have you recognized that?
Yeah, they
Joe, you've probably had that.
Yeah,
that waft over you as they come out of the shower. I don't know what lotions they're using.
I want to know.
Yeah, I kind of do want to know. Yeah.
I mean, you want to talk about a pregame routine? They have their whole postgame routine. Oh, I got to get my shea butter on, chapstick. I mean, yeah, they got their hygiene on top notch there. Yeah.
Well, I bought the Jay-Z scent years and years ago.
Oh, did you really?
I can't remember what he called it. It was either Jay-Z or it was like Sean Carter. It wasn't great. It wasn't great.
It wasn't a good smell.
I used it once, and I got made fun of.
I bought Stetson one time.
What are you, an old cowboy? Stetson?
Yeah, you know, I didn't really jive with my body.
I don't even do cologne. I used to be into, like, as a younger man, I was into cologne.
Yeah.
But you don't want to be overuse of cologne guy.
No, you never want to be that guy.
That's a stigma that I avoid.
Yeah, everybody knows that guy. There's a guy in the office or a guy in your personal life. Everybody knows who that person is. You don't want to be that person.
I found my sweet spot. I get the right deodorant, and it's strong enough to where you smell that paired with I use lotion. So I don't ever think I need cologne. Even on a date, I don't use cologne.
No. Well, you're also, you're past the point of impressing, too.
Yeah, but like, do ladies really, I guess smell is important.
I mean, I think it's important early on. Yeah,
Do you still use it?
No, I don't use it anymore. I do have a bottle of cologne. She bought it for me, so I know she likes the smell. Early on, though, I would rock a little bit on the first couple of dates.
I feel like cologne is something that you're really jazzed about when you're like 12, 13, 14.
Yeah, that's a good age range.
And then you get older and you're just like, why do I even need this?
Well, the delicate balance of you want them to smell your scent and then you don't. I mean, I've never been able to get that in between.
It's a happy medium.
You know, because you don't want too much, but you want them to notice it just enough to where they're like,
Ooh, he smells good.
He smells good.
Ooh, I like that scent.
But they don't say anything, but they keep that to themselves. I was always pretty partial to Burberry. You guys smell that one?
You look like a Burberry guy.
What does that mean?
I don't know. You just got a Burberry vibe.
I just said, you look like you smell like Damian Lillard, and you responded with, I look like a Burberry guy? I don't even know what that means.
I'm a Stetson guy. We've been over this.
Don't try to backtrack out of that.
I'm going to go buy some Brut on my way home.
They still make that stuff?
I have no clue.
All right, it's a busy show today. Let's find out what's on tap.
Nerd and Sprague know what's brewing.
I'm not paid to be bold. I'm paid to be right.
There's a lot of sporting events that you say, oh, I got to go do that.
This is What's on Tap, poured by Pelican Brewing Company, born at the beach on 1080. The Fan.
What's on Tap brought to you in The Fan by Pelican Brewing Company. Born at the beach, online at pelicanbrewing.com. We got a busy show today. There's a lot of NBA. We got crunch time. NFL true or false, the mail shack.
Mail shack.
So get your questions in at 503-250-1080. Michael Spencer will join us from Denver. The Nuggets have a positive test gone wrong. Ian Desmond of the Rockies is not going to play. And I kind of want to ask him a Drew Lock question.
Oh, okay.
So we'll go there for the Daily Ticker. I've got a chess master turned quarterback guru story I want to pass along. What's your dream job in sports, and have you given up on it? Obviously, being a pro athlete, if you're listening, we all suck. We're never going to get to that level. But what in sports have you always wanted to do, and have you given up on it? Because there's a story I want to share that might lead you to not give up.
Okay.
It's a pretty interesting read by Bruce Feldman. So we got a busy one today. That's what's on tap. And we're going to start. You can fade the music, Joe. We kind of ran late in this segment. I'm sorry. But we'll start with some NBA notes. There's a lot going on, including what's going to happen in the NBA bubble. The Blazers have added a player that nobody knows about.
Let's go.
We'll start with some NBA stuff next. Dirt and Sprague on The Fan.
This is Dirt and Sprague, gone 1080, The Fan.
All right, welcome back in. 1219 on The Fan. We're going to go to Denver for the Daily Ticker. A lot going on with the Rockies, the Nuggets. But let's start with some NBA notes. The Brooklyn Nets are tanking. And I don't really blame them, nor do I think it's really their fault. DeAndre Jordan tested positive for COVID. He says he is feeling symptoms of it, so he's not even going to test the bubble. He's going to stay home with it.
Not even going to try.
Spencer Dinwiddie, we talked about him putting Trillion on the back of his jersey. Well, he won't be there to do that.
Yeah, one day later, here we are.
Kyrie's not playing, no KD, obviously. So the Brooklyn Nets could very well lose their playoff spot to the Washington Wizards. It just kind of depends how, depends how they play there. But that's the update there for some positive tests. The Nuggets had multiple players test positive. This is what we're going to talk about at the ticker, so we won't dive too much into it. But they had to shut down their practice facility. Yeah. And there's not really a timetable of when they can return. Obviously, the NBA is supposed to start up in about a month. And right now, the Nuggets can't even get into their practice facility. This is what leaves me a little worried. The Pelicans also had three players test positive. They won't release those names. I don't blame them. And this is the very unfortunate news I read this morning. There was a report out of Orlando. Disney World workers will not be required to get testing done once they return to work. Many of them are not wearing masked positions. And Disney World is basically telling their employees that if you want to get tested, go do it yourself. So we're going to bring NBA players to a bubble that's going to have workers all around that won't even know if they have COVID. Obviously, Florida's a real hot spot for that right now. So yeah, it's kind of the latest update in terms of Bubble World NBA Watch 2020. You've got multiple teams test positive, one team shutting down a facility, another team not even sending most of their talented players, and Disney World employees not being mandated to test once they return to work.
Yeah, the last one is really terrifying. The first two, I think, are understandable. For Brooklyn, that basically goes to the line, of what Damian Lillard was saying initially. Now, I know they're in the playoff picture right now, but it was essentially the argument of, do we have anything that we can realistically accomplish here? And if the answer to that question is no, then why are we going to go give it a shot? Let's play some young guys, call up some G Leaguers, whatever we have to do. We'll play our eight games, then we're going to go home. We're not really going to push because even if they make the playoffs, there's no Kyrie Irving and there's no Kevin Durant. So what's the point for Brooklyn? I can't blame them at all and the other guys for not wanting to go, even though we're still a couple of weeks away from when they're trying to report. For the Nuggets, too, and we'll get more into that coming up bottom of the hour, but I believe I read that they can continue individual workouts. It's mostly just kind of a joint thing. They can't get the entire team together because they've had a couple of positive tests pop up on the coaching staff and with players. And we
Malone had it.
Malone had it. And Jokic, we obviously know, but I don't know if they've named the other players. That's understandable, and they're a team that I think there's two different approaches for teams. One, if you're Portland and you're pushing to make the playoffs and that's their ultimate goal here, you can't really have any positive tests right now because that would set you back. Guys won't be able to practice. They got to quarantine. Who knows if they're going to be ready when that eight-game regular season stretch starts, right? That's a kind of different scenario for them to be in. For Denver, Denver's in the playoffs. And the eight-game regular season is going to wrap up on like the 13th or 14th of August. So you're looking at having a month and a half before your real season actually begins. And Denver probably thinks they got a chance to make a run at a Western Conference Finals, maybe an NBA Finals if they can get hot and Jokic is in shape and all that stuff. There's not a lot of pressure for them to be practicing right now. So I don't think that's that huge of a deal. The Orlando story, though, with what Disney World's doing is terrifying. And Adam Silver came out and talked. I'm sure you mentioned it on Friday, but his interview about, look, we got to live with the reality. There's going to be positive tests.
I didn't really talk NBA stuff
like,
on Friday.
That's essentially what he said. Like, this is we're all living with it. It's out there. Cases are going up. It's all over the place. For the most part, the mortality rate's looking pretty good, but positive case numbers are going high everywhere around the country.
Yeah, let me just add this because I'm on a team. Like, we shouldn't be doing this, but wear a damn mask. I'm getting kind of tired of this
Amen.
Crap.
I'm with
and
you there.
I can't believe this hasn't been mandated on a federal level, and if your state's not mandating it, good luck to your state. But, on that front, I see people, like, touting that the death rate's dropping, because it's obviously hitting a lot younger people now. Mm-hmm. And that's great. Like, to see a death rate drop on something is fantastic. To celebrate that only... Like, Clay Travis was like, only 273 people died yesterday. It's like,
okay,
so that's good that we're having people die for something that we probably shouldn't have had as many people die for.
Could we have avoided this? The answer is yes.
The moving of goalposts has been utterly stupid and amazing during this moment. But what I was going to say is, sure, the death rate's dropping. You're spreading it.
Right.
So do you think that death rate's going to go to zero and we're just all going to have it and be cool with it?
No.
Because eventually it's going to get back to old people and back to your parents who are susceptible to it. And that's what upsets me, is the celebration that the death rate's dropping when in reality it is spread. The CDC, one of their head officials came out today and said, we can't keep up with it.
Yeah.
It's getting worse than it was when it came out in March. And we're doing this whole song and dance acting like it's not out there. It's pretty stupid and pretty ridiculous.
Everybody's catching it is surviving it. Nobody's dying anymore.
Yeah, because the death rate drops and you're hitting younger people. Like, that's something to be celebrated. It's like, well, we're spreading it more.
Right. And people are still susceptible to it that are older, that have immune issues, right? That
anyway,
reality
sorry,
is not
I had
changed.
To get on the soapbox for
no,
a second
it's okay.
on that. It's pissing me off now.
Well, I think the point is, for the NBA, what you need to be terrified about is widespread around the league. Like, if that ends up happening,
they're gonna have to shut it down. I don't know how you have a season.
And it would be, and that was the big what if that I remember we talked about last week with Sam Amick and the PC did, talking to the GMs anonymously. That was the huge fear of having this all come together, and you bring all the teams to Orlando and you get started and there's this big positive momentum. Everybody's watching basketball again and we're fired up about it. And then you get, you know, entire teams that start testing positive, and you're going to have to shut the league down, and you're not going to bring it back. That's it. The season's done, and you're going to try and come back at some point at the end of the year, early in 2021, and get next season underway. But that would be devastating for the league, and I wonder if they can step in some way, shape, or form, or make sure you realize how big the campus is. I'm sure there's going to be buffer areas around where the NBA players are and where the employees are, so there are certain restrictions they can have there. Positive tests are going to happen in the league, and that's going to continue to happen even when the league returns to play. You just can't have a widespread across everybody that's there.
All right, before we get to the Daily Ticker, I want to pass this along. The Blazers, who you mentioned, Dirt, are going back to that bubble. Trevor Ariza will not be with him. He has opted out. He's going to have custody of his kids for a month, so he doesn't want to be in the bubble with him. I don't blame him at all. The Blazers could replace Trevor Ariza, and yesterday they did. They replaced him with the runner-up to the G League MVP,
what?
And that is Jalen Adams.
Big fan.
Big fan.
Big fan.
Yep.
He was dominating the G League.
He had previously signed a 10-day contract with the Bucks, but was cut during the 2019-2020 training camp. He spent the previous season with the Atlanta Hawks after going undrafted out of St. Bonaventure in 2018.
Okay.
His averages are 25-4 with 1.7 steals, 3.7 turnovers in 34 games with the, I think they're called the Thundering Herd.
The Thundering Herd?
I might be wrong on that, but they just said it's the Herd. I'm reading the Blazers Edge piece. So,
you played for Marshall?
No, the G League team.
I know, I'm just kidding. Oh, yeah. It was a Marshall joke.
It might be the Thundering Herd that I'm thinking of.
Damn it, Dirt.
It was a bad dad joke. Sorry. I apologize.
Out here.
We are Marshall. No, I'm sorry.
I'm blaming the Brute.
No, but this is the, I think this is the exciting.
Only a guy that wears Stetson says that stupid-ass joke.
This is, and look, if Portland.
Why'd they get a point guard? Why did we need a point guard?
That's a great question. We like undersized guards to turn the ball over a little bit and don't play a lot of defense. No, but this is the thing. Like, if you end up getting a couple of bad games and you're not going to make the playoffs, play the young guys. Give this dude a chance. Let him play 5-6 games towards the end of his 8-game run.
Yeah, like, look, if he plays and he plays well, I'm going to be
Team Portland.
Maybe
for next year, right?
He's a tiny point guard. Why do we need him?
Because we had Shabazz Napier. We love tiny point guards.
We have Dame CJ and Anfernee Simons.
Let's go. Bring another one on board.
Really?
Why not?
Okay. I was kind of hoping we go a different direction, but yeah.
Yeah, you know, like a guy who was
a veteran.
A little lengthy on the wing.
Yeah, maybe, yeah.
Got some NBA experience.
You know, there's the first team, the team that's in first place in the West, you know who they wanted?
They wanted J.R. Smith.
Hmm.
Somebody had a great meme of the Will Smith at the end of Fresh Prince of Bel-Air.
All in the room by himself.
Saying J.R. Smith showing up to the Staples Center for the Lakers' first game. I'm wondering, where is everybody?
I thought Tip was right now.
I thought we were playing tonight. What's going on?
So the Blazers get Jalen Adams, and not encouraging news so far out of the NBA bubble. We'll have more on this coming up. There was a Dennis Dodd piece I want to talk about in college football, and not really reassuring, but look, this is part of our job, right? The COVID stuff pops up. We have to pass it along. I think it's a pretty important part of our, you know, the future moving forward in sports to pass this information along. So we'll share that at the top of the 1 o'clock hour. But up next is the Daily Ticker, Michael Spencer. He covers all things Denver sports for CBS affiliate over there, Channel 4. He'll join us next for the Daily Ticker to talk about the Nuggets, the Ian Desmond story for the Rockies, and maybe talk a little Broncos talk. Michael Spencer joins us next for the Daily Ticker, but first, Joe with a sports update.
In this wide world of sports, some stories can slip through the cracks.
Now, before we do this, let's go over the ground rules.
This is the Daily Ticker, where Dirt and Sprague visit the insiders that are covering the stories you've heard about, and some you haven't.
How'd you do that? Actually, I'm not even mad. It's amazing.
The Daily Ticker with Dirt and Sprague on 1080 The Fan.
Well, a couple big stories out of Denver, Colorado. The Nuggets had to close down their practice facility due to positive COVID test results. And Colorado Rockies outfielder Ian Desmond had a lengthy Instagram post citing racial issues, family, and COVID, a multitude of reasons. He is sitting out of MLB's return. They've already replaced him with Matt Kemp. So Michael Spencer of CBS Channel 4 over there in Denver, Colorado, is our guest on all things Denver sports. He's one of our favorites. He's on Twitter at MichaelCBS4, and he joins us now. Michael, it's good to have you back on with us in Portland, man. What did you make of the Denver Nuggets announcement shutting down the practice facility about a month out from the return in the Orlando bubble? Do we not have him, or does Joe know what he's doing?
Checking, 1, 2.
I think Joe's confused.
Give us a look.
Okay, hold
waiting.
On.
Hold I thought on. It was a really good question.
Thanks.
That was a great question to start off
It's
on.
A nice little start question.
It's perfect.
Yeah, the thing in this business, it's not a hard job. You just have to have an easy, flowing introduction question, and then you get into the nitty-gritty.
Nice, easy flow to it. There is a lot going on in Denver right now.
There is a lot going on in Denver.
Yeah.
And the Drew Lock hype.
They got a lot on their plate.
Do we have him?
Okay, let's try again.
You know what I bet this is?
Oh, there we go. Hey.
Michael, can you hear us?
Hey. Uh-huh. Yeah, I was so floored. The question was so good. I was literally speechless trying to answer it.
Well, I'm glad we finally got you, man. I'm assuming you heard the question. I'll say it one more time, though. The Nuggets shut down the facility. What do you make of it about a month out from them going back to the bubble to get an NBA championship?
Yeah, I think it's a little bit concerning, right? You know, and look, they knew they were going to have positive tests. They knew the guys were going to come back from wherever they were and that there were going to be positive results to this, right? And I think that you've seen that throughout the country. I think what's concerning is that they had to close down the facility. That I don't think they expected to have to do. And so I think that this is one of those things where, okay, look, we had to do this. Where the big concern is how do the players react to this, right? And are there guys who you start to think, okay, are we really safe? Like, are we really doing the right thing? Because if we're getting it now, how are we supposed to make it to Orlando? And then how are we supposed to stay safe in Orlando? Because the guys are paying attention to this, right? And there was already some concern about the length of time they were going to be sequestered in this bubble. So I think that you're going to start to see maybe a trickle more of guys starting to raise a little bit of concern. And you're already kind of starting to see that of people saying, hey, are we sure that this is the right thing for us to do? Am I sure that I want to put myself in this position as a player, you know? And right. So the positive tests, they knew they were going to happen. The shutting down of the facility is a little bit concerning because I think the guys in the NBA feel like, okay, once we get to Orlando, we'll probably be all right. Right now, it's like, God, can we even get to Orlando with everything that's going on?
Right, so we've got a couple more weeks to go until we get there. And shutting down the facility now, is that for everybody? Can they still have individual workouts? Like, what's the status of guys who still want to come in and get, like, shots up?
No, it's my understanding is that it's for everybody.
Okay.
And that they're doing a deep cleaning, and so nobody can be there. They were supposed to start practice tomorrow. And this happened on Saturday, and so it's been shut down for a couple of days. So they feel like maybe they're definitely not going to do anything tomorrow. They feel like they can maybe get in there, maybe on Saturday. Thursday and Friday are probably a little questionable at this point. And so I think the other thing you consider too, guys, is like where at what point does it become a competitive balance issue of teams are having to shut down so they can't practice, right? And this is obviously still really early, but what happens if this happens, you know, in a couple of days again, right? And maybe the Blazers have to shut down their practice facility. And then that delays their arrival in Orlando. And do you start to see a trickle there and have issues there too? So my understanding is that nobody's in the facility for the next couple of days and that they're hoping to get back in there on Saturday.
Yeah, this is Michael Spencer, CBS affiliate, Channel 4 over there in Denver as the Nuggets have to close down their practice facility. That was going to be my next question, so I'm glad you hit on that, the competitive disadvantage that some teams may face versus others not having anything shut down. I do want to transition, though, because you guys had another story come out in your city with the Rockies. Outfielder Ian Desmond wrote a lengthy Instagram post basically citing racial issues with MLB, his family's health and well-being, and just kind of not being in that space where he wants to play in MLB's return here or to at least start their season. How surprised, I guess I should ask, were you by the news of Ian Desmond deciding to sit out with the Rockies? And what do you think this means going forward for him and the Rockies?
Yeah, I think I was personally surprised. I think the Rockies were probably a little bit surprised too. We had Jeff Breidich and Bud Black on a press conference earlier in the day, and they expected, at least they told us, they expected everybody to be there when camp opens tomorrow. So I think that it's a bit of a throw for them. In terms of baseball, it doesn't necessarily affect them a whole bunch. I mean, obviously with the DH being in the NL now, you could have seen Ian fill in that role. I think he might have competed for a starting spot in the outfield, but I don't think it was guaranteed that he was going to get a starting spot in the outfield. You know, he hit 255 last year. He's had some bad years with the Rockies ever since they signed him to that big deal. You know, in terms of a fan perspective, people around here have certainly turned on him over the last couple of years. From a personal perspective, you know, I think that what he's doing, hats off to him if he feels that that's the right thing to do, you know, and I'm not in his shoes. None of us are in his shoes. So how can we know what's right? And I think he's doing what he feels is right, not only for his family, but for, you know, his community down there in Florida and hoping to turn things around for them and the state of youth sports there as he sees it. So, I think the Rockies were thrown, but I don't think it's going to be a major issue for them in terms of, oh my gosh, what do we do now? They went out and got Matt Kemp today, who's been a Rocky killer over the last decade. So, you know, I think from that perspective, I think the Rockies are going to be okay. But it certainly was big news last night. And I think a bit surprising for the organization to have that happen.
Well, and the unique thing between baseball and basketball is at least basketball's got that quarantine bubble they got working in Orlando, and baseball's going to be bouncing around from city to city. How are things going right now in Denver? I'm just curious. And then how are people feeling in the local area about because I'm assuming that's where their spring training is going to be. I've seen that from a lot of teams. If that's not the case, then correct me. But just how are they feeling about eventually here in a couple of weeks hosting Major League Baseball games in Denver?
Yeah, they're doing it at Coors Field. As you mentioned, they are going to use one of the universities as kind of like an auxiliary field if they feel like they need to use two fields that's relatively close to Coors Field. But you're right. It's interesting that baseball is not going with the bubble because these guys are going home, right, to their wives and to their kids. So are their wives and kids going to be cognizant and trying to stay at home as much as possible? And then what happens on the road? And, you know, the thing that the Rockies are trying to push to their players is, hey, look, you got to be really, really cognizant about what you're doing. And to hear Bud Black tell it yesterday, the players are talking amongst themselves about being really cognizant about what they're doing, not only when they're at home, but when they're on the road. I think baseball has the potential to see a blow up more so than any of the other sports because these guys are traveling from city to city and exchanging, you know, being on planes with one another. And so if one of them gets it on a plane, it can spread quicker than it would maybe if they were in a bubble type scenario. So, you know, it's something that they're trying to be cognizant of, but it's something that I think is, as you guys know, as we've watched this virus kind of unfold, it's something that they feel like is kind of out of their hands, and they're just kind of crossing their fingers, hoping that everybody wearing a mask and washing their hands and not going out, allegedly, will be enough to give them the opportunity to play baseball.
Michael, I'll get you out here on this one, man. We're pretty against it, so as quickly as possible. Do you think Drew Lock takes that next step this year? He's got some pretty good weapons. A lot of people like the running back situation. Their defense has always been one that's respected, and they got a defensive-minded head coach. Did the Denver Broncos pop up as a wild card team for you this year?
I think they do. I think they're certainly in that conversation. I think their defense helps as well. 2021 is really the year where I look for the offense to explode, especially considering the fact that they haven't had the on-the-field time that they would have liked to have had and may not get it heading into the 2020 season. 2021 is the year where I think the Broncos offense really kind of blows up, though.
There we go. Great stuff from Michael Spencer. He works for CBS affiliate Channel 4 over there in Denver, Colorado. He's one of our favorites to stop in on all things Denver sports. Michael, thanks so much for the time, my man. We always appreciate it up here.
All right, guys, enjoy your show. Thanks so much for having me on. Appreciate it.
All right, there we go. Good stuff from Michael Spencer of CBS Channel 4 on Twitter, at MichaelCBS4, if you want all things Denver related. He's right. It could be a competitive disadvantage for the Nuggets going through this. And the baseball one is one I've thought about, too, of how they're not doing a bubble. It's conspiracy here. I wouldn't be stunned if in the background owners were hoping the season gets shut down.
Wouldn't be shocked by it based on the negotiations we just went through, and a lot of owners apparently saying that they were fine if there wasn't a season at all.
They said it actually saves them money to not have a season because of the ticket gate that they lose.
Right, the revenue that they're losing out on. You can't pull off a bubble season with baseball. The year's just too long. Even at only 60 games, you're looking at a five-month stretch of sitting in the similar town, and I don't see that working out for them. There's not a Disney World type of complex that they can pull that off, especially for the amount of time that they need to be there. It's going to be troubling, and I think it goes back to something we brought up many times on this show. It's going to be personal responsibility. We've seen some of the areas that are leading to an infection rate increase in, like, Arizona, Texas, Florida. Like, places are shutting down bars. They're shutting down areas where large indoor gatherings, that kind of stuff. So I think that helps the cause of Major League Baseball. You're going to take away that aspect of people being able to go out to bars and party potentially after games because a lot of these guys are young and they're just looking to have a good time maybe when the game is over. It's personal responsibility. If they're safe and they're doing everything they should be doing away from the field, hopefully it's going to be okay, but it is a huge question mark for them.
All right, coming up next, what's your dream job in sports? Aside from being a player or a head coach, what is your dream job in sports? If you had to do something else than what you're doing now related to sports, what is it? Because I would say this, I got a story I'm going to share with you that might inspire you not to give up on that dream. I'll explain more next on The Fan. When I'm on the road,
playing in a town without a name. This is Dirt and Sprague, Gone 1080, The Fan.
Dirt, have you ever longed to work in sports? Obviously, being a pro athlete and probably a head coach is out the door for you, but, like, sure. Have you ever longed to have a job in sports outside of doing sports radio?
Outside of talking about it every day? If I had to pick a dream job in sports, there's a couple that come to my mind.
Lamb on me.
But the number one is undoubtedly a Major League Baseball batting practice shagger. If that was a job and I could get paid to do that, I would do that in a heartbeat. Are you kidding me?
You're just in the outfield.
Dude, you
roaming?
Throw a uniform on me. I'm running around a Major League Baseball field, right? Roaming around the outfield,
just
calling off other players.
Image of you in a Giants
uniform. Like roaming around center field.
Dirt stiff arming 8-year-olds.
Tossing balls up into the crowd.
Oh, that's a posy homer.
Dude, are you kidding me? That would be the dream job. Now, I don't know if that's an actual job. I think players themselves actually do that. But yeah. If that was a hypothetical job, I would be all over it.
Well, you know, every once in a while, these cool stories get written. And I like to share these more often, but sometimes we just don't. And I read this. This is one of the best reads of 2020 for me. I love these kinds of stories. So Bruce Feldman wrote a story about Seth Mikowski, which is a name nobody's heard of. He is one of the more sought after quarterback coaches in the country.
Mm.
Seth Mikowski's 41. He didn't watch football till 2 years ago. So in February of 2018, Mikowski had friends over at a Beverly Hills home to watch the Super Bowl between the Eagles and the Patriots. He kept noticing that one of the announcers, Chris Collinsworth, would drop what seemed like a half dozen chess references over the course of the 3-hour broadcast. Mikowski, who had been using principles he learned from chess to help his poison pawn business, coaching and consulting clients boost their bottom lines, was suddenly intrigued. Now, Mikowski's background is basically he became a restaurant consultant.
Okay.
He is huge in the Panda Express industry. He helped revolutionize the way they do business. He makes $30 million a year off of what his counsel has done for Panda Express. So he's a guru of marketing and just getting people's brands out there.
Did he tell him to only do orange chicken and get rid of everything else?
Oh, wait, the chow mein's pretty good.
I mean, the chow mein, yeah. Come I'm on, talking man. About other main entrees, not the chow mein or the fried
beef
rice.
Beef broccoli?
I mean, it's okay, but it doesn't come anywhere near the orange chicken.
I'll go up the bat for a honey walnut shrimp. That is just a
lot. Come on. No, yeah. Everybody that goes to Panda Express is getting orange chicken as one of their main entrees.
Joe, you also had white bread as a bun for your hot dog, so I don't know how much I'm getting into that stock.
Tough times we're in, man. Tough times, all right?
Yeah. We all got to make do.
But anyways, all jokes aside, so that's who this guy is. He grew a fascination of chess by just, he fell in love with the...
Just watching it and fell in love with
it. The principles of it, the strategy. This guy got so heavy into chess, he used to go to Russia, used to go to China. He used to do Zoom meetings with the best chess players in the world and just pick their brains on strategy. And he'd take notes and he's very detailed. Anyways, he also, by the way, is the CEO of Earl of Sandwich. They're very famous in the airports, I guess. They're a big sandwich eatery.
Sounds delicious. Never heard of it.
Anyways, watched the Super Bowl, became entrenched in chess strategy paired with quarterbacking. He then went to a camp and started giving out tidbits. And slowly but surely, he became the guy that quarterback prospects... Pro quarterbacks. Deshaun Watson's one of his biggest clients.
This is wild.
He would get hired for 3-hour video sessions or 3-hour one-on-one sessions, and he'd use chess strategy to use and implement for quarterbacking. And he would tie them together in unique ways. He knows nothing about X's and O's. Mm-hmm. He doesn't pretend to know what a cover 2 versus a cover 3 is.
Okay, what's he then giving them advice on?
It's basically how you manipulate and think about your next moves if your previous thought of move was eliminated right away. So what he does is he really got smart. He'd play speed chess. He says speed chess is the thing that you want to implement if you want to be a good quarterback coach. Because it basically says, if I'm moving my knight here, that's my next move. And then as soon as that gets eliminated, you have to know what you're doing. Speed chess is rapid fire movement.
Gotta go.
And he implements this in coaching the quarterbacks. He's now one of, if not the most sought after names in the quarterback business. And 2 years ago, he didn't even watch football. In fact, he admits in this story, he still doesn't really know anything about football. Who's good, who's great, who's bad.
Yeah.
He only uses chess strategy, and now he's one of the bigger names in the sport. So, look, I know most people out there listening, unless you've got something to implement, but I think the big story is this is a 41-year-old guy, and he slowly worked his way up, 2 years worked his way into being one of the biggest household names for quarterbacks in all of football.
I have like a three-prong reaction to this.
Yeah.
One, that is a kick-ass story that somebody is now working in football. Even though it's not really a dream of his, that's kind of unique too.
But it's a cool story.
It's a very cool story to go from that to that. I understand the thought process there of you. The quick reactions is what makes quarterbacks elite, and not getting locked onto one wide receiver, being able to process loads of information at rapid pace and finding from receiver one to receiver two to dump it into a back. To tucking it and running it, like you have to be able to have your mind work at warp speed. So that makes sense to me. I also, though, view this slightly in like an information overload kind of thing, that I feel like we're so desperate for new ways and new coaching. I would be fascinated to know how much this actually helps guys like Deshaun Watson, because he's been a terrific quarterback his entire life. He won a national championship. He's been elite since he was in high school. So maybe it is helping him, but I also feel like you're going a little information overload here, getting coached by a guy who doesn't know anything about football.
So Watson swears by him, but I'll give you another name. There's plenty of names in the sport that you would know if you read this. Another name that used him was Dwayne Haskins. So Haskins actually heard about him prior to his first, starting at quarterback at Ohio State. He worked with Mikowski all summer. And the next year he played starting quarterback, he used some of the principles he was taught. He threw 50 touchdowns and 8 picks in his lone year as a starter at Ohio State.
He had a great year at Ohio State.
And he's not saying that all of what he learned from Mikowski is the reason. He is just saying, Mikowski helped me tremendously. Seth does great relating sports to chess as far as the moves on the chessboard, how you maneuver, like how each move is calculated. He applies that to real life and sports. Mm. By the way, he was discovered. I should share this story. It's very interesting. He was discovered by Peter Guber, who is the owner of the Golden State Warriors, who worked with him on a hospitality restaurant project in 2017. He then was flown out to Andre Agassi and Steffi Graf at the Sports Academy in Thousand Oaks, California, where he observed that half of the facility was dedicated to the mental side of sports. Quote, "It was so similar to how I train on chess that I just wanted to keep going." Agassi and Graf asked if he would do a pilot program at the facility working with some of the athletes, and boom, it took off from there.
It just clicked, yeah. Yep. The mental side of it, it's a huge aspect of it. We all know that people have the physical tools, but do you have it between the years when you need it most?
Well, I think there's people out there, we follow some of our listeners that reach out and are P1s. I follow some of our listeners on like Instagram and stuff, mm-hmm. and I see them like their coaches throughout in the high school ranks. Mm-hmm. This is the kind of stuff that I think applies to them. Like maybe they love their jobs, their jobs are kick-ass, and they just do this for fun.
No, you always have that back of the mind passion.
But yes, I think some of these people that coach in high school ranks out here, they don't think they can do it. But like a Seth Mikowski found a way to create a niche avenue for himself, and now he gets to work with some of the best quarterbacks in the country.
Yeah, somebody texted and said, I think it'd be cool to be a bullpen catcher. They get paid decent. You get to spend all the time at the park with the team watching games.
So why not? Let me ask you this. I don't know who bullpen catchers are. They largely just failed out, fizzled out ball players.
For the most part, yeah.
But is there a way to work your way into that job?
Not without any professional baseball expertise,
so
I would say.
So you need the credentials on that level.
You got guys that, usually are minor league flameouts or maybe a cup of coffee in the big leagues, and they eventually become bullpen catchers. I would also say that it's going to kill your knees because you're catching bullpens nonstop all day, every day. So the older you get, that's absolutely brutal on your body. So I would be cautionary with that. Somebody said baseball scout has to be the best job ever. Decent salary, lots of travel, get to watch baseball all the time, except when you're talking about baseball or researching baseball.
Do they make good money? I always thought scouts were kind of iffy.
I don't know the answer to that of how much scouts make. I'm sure the higher you up in an organization, and the more that you hit, the more money you're gonna make. But an entry level scout, probably not a ton of money. Probably not a sexy job.
Entry level baseball scout, so 1 to 3 years experience. This, according to salaryexpert.com,
okay,
take that for what it is $30,000 dollars a year.
Exactly.
Senior level is just shy of 50.
Yeah. Wait, but, what?
Yeah.
Only $50,000 for a senior level baseball scout?
It says on the other end, Yeah, I don't know if I trust this, but it's a senior level scout, 8+ years experience, earns an average salary of 49.
Well, maybe you get bonuses for hitting on players. I mean, that could be a part of it too. I have no clue how that pay structure works.
Well, you're also equating the Oakland A's pay structure to the New York Yankees, so your averages.
Yeah, very true. Somebody said their dream job is being the Philly fanatic. Then we got another one saying, I'm a former NFL equipment manager, also worked in baseball clubhouses and equipment for the Cougs. Anyone that says it's a dream job, I can give them 100 reasons why it's not a job that I loved and that I hated.
Yeah, equipment guys seem, because I see the Blazer guys all the time, and they have good relationships. Some of them actually get pretty damn good tips from the visiting team if they take care of them well. But there's the other end of that, and I'm like, there's so many parts of that job I wouldn't want to do.
Right, right. There's so many pain in the ass moments that you have to deal with,
hey, Zach,
as the equipment manager.
I need your sweaty ass socks right now. You know, that's the part of the job I wouldn't
catch
want.
Catch a staph infection while doing your job, trying to clean dirty clothes and laundry.
That's one of those, I think there's a lot of jobs in sports where the idea of them sound great.
I've always
theory.
Wanted to open a gym, not like a big gym, but like a 2 or 3 court gym, and just have AAU tournaments and
just run a gym.
Yeah, that's always not like a weightlifting, just strictly right. basketball.
Walk around with track pants, and
yeah,
some flip flops,
a full Adidas jumpsuit,
blowing a whistle.
I want to be
the
new Sonny Vaccaro. Yeah, I want people to go, that guy's blackballed from college hoops, but I'm still wheeling and dealing in the AAU circuit.
You're just funneling kids into Oregon State. They're going to Final Fours and then having them vacated 2 years later. Not a bad life if you can get it.
Wayne Tinkle was never making the tournament. How did this happen? Let me tell you the story of Brandon Sprague. I would totally do that because I'm going to get fired from this job eventually.
All right, we're all going to get fired.
And once that happens, I don't know what I'm going to do in my life. This really inspired me. Like, I might just sell my house, put it all in a gym and say, let's roll the dice, baby.
Yeah, see what we can put together there. There is a very cool American dream aspect to that story of somebody that has evolved, and a good reminder that you just never know where your life's going to take you. Because I guarantee if you told that guy at 31 that he's going to be working with NFL quarterbacks in 10 years, he'd probably laugh at you and say, what the hell are you talking about? And here we are 10 years later, he's working with NFL quarterbacks.
By the way, one final note, he openly admits he can't name 10 NFL coaches. This dude's working with the best quarterbacks.
This is almost just like frustrating to listen
that
to.
He's this good as of a quarterback coach that doesn't know squat about
exactly.
football.
Yeah, but
I get the mental side. I understand. Yeah. I get it.
But when Deshaun Watson is swearing by him, don't you just say, well, that's weird. He doesn't know anything.
Yeah.
But there's something to this.
I mean,
this.
Tom Brady swears by the Guerrero, bro, and he sounds a little flaky and weird.
Yeah.
And Dwayne Haskins also sucked last year.
Oh, sucked is a bit harsh. See, kind of thrown into a really bad situation.
He's a rookie quarterback in a bad situation, but I don't want to downplay the guy.
You're kind of crapping on Seth
Mikalski. I'm not crapping on the guy. I just find it fascinating that somebody can be an expert about something that he knows nothing about. I know he knows about process information, but there's a lot more that comes into playing quarterback. So it's a very niche level of training.
They use it in niche
like
ways.
Like a very small sliver of what it actually takes to be a quarterback. But
I guess he compares like the second level, like the linebackers or strong safeties. He compares them to pawns. It's interesting story. I highly recommend the read. It's online. Bruce Feldman wrote it. It's really good. I can feel how much you're crapping on this story.
No,
feel
on it.
There's an energy in the studio right now. Like, this is a joke.
This coupled with the
Brandon Sprague's going to turn
player into
like a golf swing guru. I mean, I don't really play that much golf, but hey, here's what you need to do with your golf swing. You're going to be like making $1 million in a couple of years.
You should have saw me at the reserve.
It sounded like you played great.
I played the best I've played all year.
There you go.
It was amazing.
Progress, baby.
Okay. Hour two is actually right now, but it's straight ahead. You know how that works? Just a couple minutes away. We're going to start with some not so encouraging news on COVID with college football. And then we got NFL true or false, a lot to get to. Dirt and Sprague back with more on The Fan.
Okay, picture this. It's Friday afternoon when a thought hits you. I can waste another weekend doing the same old whatever, or I can conquer it. I can hop into my all-new Hyundai Santa Fe and hit the road. Any road. The steeper, the better. Because my all-new Santa Fe is available with H-Track all-wheel drive, so I can hit the trail without a worry in the world. Heck, with 3 rows and best-in-class rear cargo space, I can pack the whole family in with all our gear. We've got available dual wireless charging for our phones, so we'll never lose touch with civilization, and we won't lose touch with the primordial power of Mother Earth. So which is it? Waste the weekend or do something a little more epic and conquer it in the all-new Hyundai Santa Fe. Visit HyundaiUSA.com or call 562-314-4603 for more details. Hyundai, there's joy in every journey.